If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, this morning we're going to finish the chapter from verse 18 to verse 25. I've titled this message, What is a Real Man? You know, traditionally this is a passage that we study at Christmas. It's the Christmas announcement. When the angel tells Joseph about the birth of Jesus, awesome, great news. And that's why Matthew is a gospel, because gospel means good news. And here in this passage, the angel tells Joseph that Jesus will be born and he will live up to his name. Jesus means God is salvation. And the angel says, because he will save his people from his sins. And we read there also in this passage that his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now that's the best news ever. And maybe this morning you need some good news as well. Maybe this message applies to you. It certainly applies to me. I need good news. I need to be saved from my sins. And so do you. I need to know that God is with me. And that's the message of the gospel, that God loves you and he sent his son to die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. And we're going to have a chance afterward to let you come forward and to receive the Lord, to get right with God, to pray for you. Maybe you need to get to a place of healing or a fresh start. But really this morning, what I want to focus on is not so much that traditional Christmas message, but I want to focus on Joseph. I want to focus on one of the most overlooked characters in the whole nativity story, and that is Joseph. You know, sometimes we look at the Christmas story about, of course, the baby Jesus and the wise men and the shepherds and, you know, the choir of angels and, of course, Mary. But we hardly ever talk about Joseph, do we? I mean, the donkey gets more attention than poor Joseph. But I think Joseph is one of the greatest men in the Bible. God chose a man to be the example for the Son of God on earth. And what an amazing man he must have been. One of the greatest men to ever live. I mean, think about it. God sends his son into the world, and of course Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also a human. And as a baby and as a young boy and as a teenager growing up, he's going to have to look at some form of example. And though we sometimes focus on Mary and the virgin birth, we need to ask ourselves, well, who was Joseph? And why did God choose him? What about him is so special? Who's going to raise Jesus, the Son of God? By the way, if you think you have a tough job, think about Joseph. Here's your job. Raise the Son of God. Be an example for God. That's all backwards, isn't it? You know, I remember seeing a couple of years ago this commercial before the Super Bowl. Do you remember that? It was for Beats headphones, and it was before the 49ers Super playoff game with the Seahawks. And it was Colin Kaepernick, and he was on a bus, and there were all these Seahawks fans throwing stuff at him. And all he did was, you know, because they're noise reducing, right? So he puts on the headphones so he can't hear all this stuff. And then they played that song where it's just, and it just repeats. I don't know if you know the song, but you can tell everybody that I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You can tell everybody. Come on now. Come on now. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. And he just gets off and he cruises. And I thought, man, that would be a tough place to be advertised to the world as I'm the man. And you can tell everybody, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And of course, then he lost in the playoffs. And then the Seahawks trounced in the Super Bowl and dominated. And yet you think, well, what is a man? What is a real man? What does it mean to be a man's man? I think we can look at Joseph as a good example. Of course, Jesus Christ is the greatest example, but what can we learn this morning from Joseph about being a godly man, but more than that, about being a godly person? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman after God's heart? What kind of things can we learn in this Good News Christmas announcement? And I hope and pray that you'll find encouragement to be who God made you to be this morning, because he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And we want to look at Joseph to see and find out what God likes in a man or woman, the characteristics that he chooses, and the kind of people that he picks to use for his purpose. And I pray that all of you will come to know Jesus, hopefully, as your Savior, but if you know him already, to know him as your friend, and even Emmanuel, that he is with you. So let's read our text this morning, beginning in verse 18. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now the angel said all that, and then Joseph, in verse 24, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her, that is, he didn't have sexual relationships with her, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that you would teach us in your word, that you would feed our souls, Lord, and bring us close to you. And we ask, the God, that you'd help us to understand your word and to rejoice in you. We pray this morning that you'd help us to lay our burdens down before your feet and to take up the cross, Lord, and accept that forgiveness that you offer us, the healing and grace that you have. Teach us now in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing we notice from this is how bad the situation starts. In verses 18 and 19, we read about the birth of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the genealogy, how Jesus came through the line of David. And we pointed out how Joseph was the line of David physiologically. But Jesus wasn't born of Joseph as a physical father. He would come through Mary, as the Holy Spirit gave her power to conceive. But Mary's line also leads back to David, so he's the son of David, both through Joseph and Mary. But we read this first verse, verse 18, a bad situation. Mary is pregnant. They're not married yet. It says in verse 19 that Joseph was her husband, but you have to realize the culture in that day. When you were engaged, you were called the husband, but the marriage had not yet been consummated. Imagine at this time, Joseph is probably not an old man. He's relatively young. We believe that Mary is probably a teenager still, and yet all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that his fiance is pregnant. That's a bad situation. You know, sometimes God gives good news in bad situations. It's especially bad news for Joseph because he had been pure so far. We read that he had not come close. He had done the right thing. He didn't have sex before marriage, but this sort of thing, and you know, it's happened thousands of times before, hasn't it? Somebody gets pregnant outside of wedlock throughout history, and it's hurtful sometimes. There's all sorts of baggage that goes along with it. There's gossip, there's talk, but really from Joseph's perspective, that was a painful, painful thing. It was an unexpected pregnancy and unwanted. And what it really said was that she had been unfaithful. She'd been unfaithful. Could you imagine the pain that he must have felt? Could you imagine the shame that he must have felt? What people might have said about him? And maybe you've been there. Maybe somebody's been unfaithful to you. Maybe you've been cheated. Or maybe you've been the one that's done the wrong. Either way, sin has been in the world and it causes pain. We live in a world of sin. We're all sinners. And from Joseph's perspective, and although we know otherwise, all he knew was that he was hurt. She had been unfaithful. And we're all sinners, but Jesus came to forgive sinners and heal. But still, in that pain and shame, he does something amazing. And it says there that he didn't want to make a public example of her. I remember when I was just about 9 or 10 years old, my older sister got pregnant in high school. It was, about 10 years ago. I'm just kidding, I'm much older than that. It was about 35 years ago. I was just a kid. And she went to Wailua High School. We grew up on the North Shore, and her boyfriend, his name was Rad. Boy, that's a throwback, isn't it? His real name was Ricky. But he was a local boy, pot smoker, you know, just your average hang out at the beach kind of guy. And my parents weren't really excited about the relationship to start with, but then the news came that she was pregnant. Oh, the devastation. You know, I'm sure they felt horrible. They felt like failures themselves. Have you ever had somebody hurt you and yet you feel like you're guilty? That happens a lot. And maybe that's the way Joseph felt. I still remember hearing those little lyrics and rhymes that they gave about my sister on the bus. And because the kids are here this morning, I won't repeat them. But I was 9 or 10 at the time, and I didn't understand, but I just remember the pain that it caused. And my parents did the right thing for her. They got her out of the situation, and of course, she saved the child, and the child was put up for adoption. She was far too young to be a mom. And we still have a good relationship with that young man. He lives in California with a great family, and he's very successful. And my sister has done very well. And so, you know, God can do amazing things, even in bad situations. But let's look at this situation. There's pain, and there's sin, and there's hurt, and there's wrong. And yet for all of that, that's where the gospel starts. You know, God restores, and God forgives, and heals. And today, you know, we need to trust in the Lord, even if you're in a bad situation. But I want you to see what Joseph does in verse 19. And really, this is the essence of our message this morning, is in verse 19 where it says that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that means a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. I mentioned that it says he's her husband, but that just means he was committed to her. He was betrothed to her. He was her fiancé. That's one good thing that God loves to see in men and women alike is commitment. He was committed to her. There's too many uncommitted men in the world today. But I want you to notice the attitude of Joseph. In all of his pain and in all of his confusion, the only thing that he wanted to do was to protect Mary and her dignity. Do you see that? Can you see how it says there that he did not want to make her a public example? You know, he could have exposed her. He could have started talking about her and broke off the engagement publicly and made it obvious that he was not wrong in this situation. But all he wanted to do was protect her dignity. And for all he knew, she was a sinner. And that's the heart of God. God wants to save sinners. He wants to protect their dignity. Ultimately, he wants to cover and forgive all of your sins. We could say all sorts of things about Joseph. I mean, we read the story here. We could talk about his character, the fact that he was a man of faith. It says there that while he was thinking about this in verse 20, he had a dream. Have you ever thought while you slept? Oh boy, I've had many, many nights where I accomplished all sorts of things in my brain. My body didn't feel rested in the morning. But if you've ever fallen asleep with a troubled mind like Joseph did that night, you know how it is. But Joseph hears the angel appears to him and says, hey, listen. Now that would have been a hard story to believe if Mary came to Joseph and said, I haven't been with anybody, but I'm pregnant. Never happened in the history of the world what happened with Mary, that she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet in all of this pain here, the angel appears to Joseph and says, hey, don't be afraid. Call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people. Jesus is Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. He's going to be the Lord, and he's going to save. And then the angel goes on to say, listen, this fulfills the prophecy from Isaiah 7 where it says the virgin will conceive, and she'll give birth, and we'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when you're with Jesus, you're with God. And so Joseph wakes up from the dream, and he believes that. Now, that's a great quality of Joseph. That's not my main point this morning, but it's an important thing that he believed the word of God. You could say that Joseph was a man of faith. It's important that we are men and women of faith, that when we hear the word of God, we believe the word of God. Very simply, Joseph was a man of faith. We could also point out over in verse 24 that Joseph was a man who did what he was told. It says in verse 24, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. You know, we need people who obey the Lord, don't we? Obedience is something that's very important. The Lord looks highly on obedience. He heard the word, he believed the word, and he woke up and obeyed the Lord. It's a popular bumper sticker today, isn't it? Obey. But nobody likes to be told to obey. Remember, Sprite used to tell you, obey your thirst. I read an article that after they started that little slogan, their sales slumped because I think nobody wants to be told to obey. Obedience is something we don't find very often. People don't like to be told what to do, but the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen to God is better than the fat of rams. In other words, God loves it when we do what he says to do. That's another character of Joseph that I think God had on his heart. He was not only a man of faith, but he was a man of obedience. God gives his word for our own good, and when we obey it, we do it for our own good. And Joseph was a man of faith and obedience. We could even add about Joseph that he was a man of purity. I notice in verse 25 that it says, he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Just as the angel commanded, he obeyed that. But he was holy. He remained pure. When it says he did not know her, that means he didn't have sex with her. They weren't officially married yet, and he was going to wait till the right time. Now, many people say that Mary was perpetually a virgin, and of course, that doctrine is not true. Jesus had at least four brothers and two sisters, maybe even more, and so he was the oldest of at least seven. Of course, God gave sex for marriage, and so Joseph and Mary did engage in that gift from God and have more children. But I want to point out that Joseph was a pure man. He was into holiness. But here's the thing. She was already hapai. She was prego already. What's the damage, you know? He could have done anything he wanted, and there would be no consequences. He's not going to get busted. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and you're in sin, but you think you got it covered, because there are no consequences. Maybe you're being unfaithful in your marriage, but you think it's okay because you use protection. Hey, you know, well, she's on the pill, or we wear a condom. Maybe you're into some kind of sin and you think, well, nobody knows about it, so it doesn't hurt. There's no consequences. You know, some people are pure and holy because of the consequences that they could pay for if they're not. Not Joseph. Not Joseph. He did the right thing because he was a holy man. If you're in that place today and you think that you can be unholy and that there are no consequences and that it's harmless, watch out. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns will find mercy. King David found this out. Remember when he slept with Bathsheba, he was an adulterer and he tried to cover it up and hide it. Dude, think about that. How hard is it to hide your sin when God's putting it in the Bible? He tried to hide it, and now billions of people know all about it. Listen, you can't hide your sin from God. And if you try, he might just write it down for millions of people to read. Be careful. But David was an example for us, because when he finally confessed and he prayed to God, this is what he said in Psalm 32. He said, when I kept silent and I refused to confess, I withered away on the inside. I was groaning all day long. Lord, your hand was heavy on me, until my strength was dried up. But then I confessed, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt, and you forgave me, and my guilt is gone. David would say, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. It is such a blessing to be forgiven. Joseph was holy, not because of the consequences, but because it was the right thing to do. I just point this out today, because if you're hiding in sin today, I hope you'll confess to the Lord. You know, he's faithful, and he'll forgive you. But if you hide that thing, it's just going to eat away, and you're going to live in guilt. And I hope you'll come up after church and get prayer, confess. You know, it's not our business to publish people's sin. Your secret's safe with us. But you know, that confession brings healing. And if you come clean, you can go clean. If you confess and you come clean before the Lord, you can go away clean and be set free. But if you don't, let me remind you what the scripture says in Numbers 32:23. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure that your sin will find you out. Confess to the Lord. And all of these things we can talk about Joseph. He was a man of faith. He was a man of obedience. And he was a man of holiness. Oh, that's great, but that's not my main point. My main point is back there in verse 19. What I want to say about Joseph is that I think that God chose him because first and foremost, he was a man of love. And it says in verse 19 that he did not want to make her a public example. That is, he didn't want to shame her. He didn't want to expose her or hurt her, even though for all he knew, she hurt him. She was a sinner. She had sinned against him. And this, I think, was the essential thing that God saw in Joseph, was that he was a man of love. It says there in verse 19, did you notice that? He was minded to put her away secretly. Other versions say that he decided, and he resolved. And what this means was he was going to dissolve the relationship because he didn't think it was going to work out, but he was going to do it privately so that she wouldn't be hurt. But really, the word minded means to purpose in your heart. So here, let's look at Joseph. He's been hurt, he's been wronged, but it's his purpose now to protect her. That's what God likes. That's what God likes. That's the epitome of love. I think it's one of the greatest reasons that God chose Joseph to be the physical and living example, the earthly father for the Son of God, to demonstrate to that young Jesus growing up what it was to be a man of love. Of course, Jesus had communion and fellowship with his heavenly Father, but everything that he learned as a man, he learned from Joseph, and Joseph was a man who protected and covered the sin of others. The Bible tells us love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't Joseph like the opposite of the Pharisees? Remember in John where the Pharisees found a woman caught in adultery and they dragged her out and threw her on the ground and told Jesus about it and exposed her to everybody? Jesus is the exact opposite of that. Remember, it was Jesus who told her, go and sin no more, but I don't condemn you either. Where did he learn that? Well, obviously he learned it from God, our Father, but he learned it from the example of Joseph. Jesus did it because of his heavenly Father, but he did it because Joseph was a man of love. It says there in verse 19 that he was a just man. That means a righteous man. And so for everything that we read about him, that he was a person who believed the word of God, he had faith, he obeyed the Lord, he had obedience, he lived pure, he had holiness, but above all, he had love. And I think that God chose Joseph because this is what God is like. And here's the truth of this whole story is that this is the kind of heart that God has for us. God knows your shame and he knows your sins. But God, like Joseph, is minded to put those away secretly, not to expose. Proverbs 25:2 says it's glory for God to conceal a matter. Wise men and kings like to expose and discover things. But God likes to cover things. God likes to take your sin and cast it into the depth of the sea. That's how God is minded. That's his purpose, to save us and to forgive us. And God loves you this morning. Whether you've come to faith in Jesus Christ and have invited him into your life, into your heart, whether you're born again, you need to know this, that God loves you, and his great desire for you is to preserve your dignity and cover your sins. And even if you're a Christian, the gospel is for Christians too, isn't it? He wants you to know that he is with you. And lest we forget the biggest part of this message, it's that angel announcement to Joseph. Notice what it says in verse 21. Joseph is told by the angel, hey, don't worry, Mary's story is right. What's conceived is of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 21, she will bring forth a son and you'll call his name Yeshua in the Hebrew, Jesus in our language, for he will save his people from their sins. This is his purpose, to save us from our sins. Paul the Apostle said this is a trustworthy statement, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's his purpose, to save sinners. And then, of course, the angel goes on. He says, hey, this is fulfilling scripture in verse 22. And he quotes the scripture from Isaiah 7, behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. So we have two names of Jesus here, Yeshua, which means God saves, because he will save, and he saves you, and he saves me. But also Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God is with us. Not only does he save you, but he gives you his presence. And as you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, as you welcome him to forgive your sin, also he comes in and dwells with you. That's the whole message there, that Jesus is our Savior, the Son of God and the Son of Man, but he's also our friend, that he lives in us. And you can tell everybody that he's the man, you know, he's the man. That's what it's all about. That's the message of the gospel. We thank God that Joseph is given as an example for us to show us a little bit about what God is like. Here's a man who would live as the example for Jesus, forgiving and loving and protecting. And I hope today that as a believer, as a man or a woman, you can follow Joseph's example of faith, of obedience, of holiness, but above all that, of love, of love. The Bible says that God is love. I hope that you're a person of the word, that when you hear the word, you believe it, like Joseph. When you hear the commandment, you obey it, like Joseph. And that even if there are no consequences to doing wrong, you do right, you live holy, because that pleases God, and above all, that you love. And this morning as we close, if you don't know Jesus Christ, but you want your sins to be forgiven, and you want to be cleansed, and you want a fresh start, and you want to know Jesus, your Savior, who will forgive you, and if you want to know him as Emmanuel, the God who is with us, you can today. I'm going to ask you to come forward after service and pray with somebody, be cleansed, be restored. We'll lead you in a prayer of salvation. But if you want to get right, you need to come clean so you can go clean. Come on up. We'll pray with you. We'll lay hands on you. If you need healing, the Bible tells us to pray for one another, confessing your sins that you might be healed. Today's that day. Come up forward, and we'll let the ushers and the other leaders in the church pray for you and let God touch your life. But that's our message today about Joseph and his example for us. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this short snippet, this little example that you give us of Joseph. Lord, it's sort of hidden. Joseph isn't paraded as the greatest man ever, but he might be. But it's the same with you, Father. You don't necessarily show us how awesome you are in your grace and love. You allow us to seek you and find you and dig in the scriptures and to slowly discover how great you are. So Lord, help us to be people of faith and obedience and purity and ultimately of love. Your word says in Romans 5 that you poured out your spirit in our hearts and with it the love of God. So help us to love one another. Help us to forgive one another. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to be forgiven and washed and set free, they need to come to you in faith and receive Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd give them the strength to stand and come forward as we finish the service and to pray with one of the leaders afterwards. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Aaron's going to close for us in song. May the Lord bless you today and this week. If you need prayer afterwards or would like to receive Jesus Christ, please come forward. We love you, and we'll see you next time. God bless.